Hello and welcome to the T3 podcast, a show not unlike Funhouse, but without the twins, Pat Sharp, and the slowest Grand Prix ever known to man. Hidden among our prize assault course this week, what do you get if you cross Freeview with a satellite dish? Dish? Freesat, of course. We'll be examining it in all its high-def glory. Speaking of high-def, whatever happened to that HD Victor Blu-ray? It's all going to be quiet, hasn't it? And learning to drive with the DS. Is there anything Nintendo and its gaming gadgets can't teach you? Joining me, as ever, on this tech tour is T3's Duncan Bell.
Hello.
Welcome.
Good to be here.
Jolly good.
I have to come up with something new to say at the start of the show.
Mm.
Something more catchphrasy than hello. Good to be here.
Keep trying on that one.
Yeah.
Now, I cut your
it's rant. Duncan time.
Okay, yeah.
I won't be using that one.
Keep trying. I cut short your rant last week to grumble about the lack of my Grand Theft Auto 4 pre-order.
Well, justifiably.
Mm-hmm. I'm pleased to say that's now arrived, so there must be 2 weeks of pent-up anger in there. So what has been twisting your melons this past fortnight?
Well, actually, I was going to moan about Apple again, but I seem to always be moaning about them. But I have noticed that USB doesn't work on... what's the OS X called these days? Cheetah, whatever it is. USB is screwed on it, and I don't understand why. But I was actually... No, I just wanted to talk about something that I do like, actually, for a change, which is this film that's coming out. It's been out in the States for ages, but it's coming out over here. It's called King of Kong, which is about... It gives you a glimpse into a world that you would scarcely dare to believe exists, which is the the world of professional classic arcade gaming. Not professional gaming as in playing Doom 3.
And this isn't kind of a retrospective, this is current.
It's current because passions run high in the world of classic arcade gaming. It follows, there's this guy called Billy Mitchell who's held the world record for Donkey Kong for 20 years, and he is a bemulleted twatmonger of the First Order, whose other job is selling chili sauce, which he does very successfully. Well, everything he does very successfully, but he's a very strange man. He has the worst haircut ever.
So this is, what, Donkey Kong and the NES? We're talking about
No, it's proper. You have to go to an arcade that's got a proper registered Donkey Kong machine.
Right. Are there many of those left?
There's one, as far as I'm told. It's called Twin Galaxies, and it's in Los Angeles. And there was this huge hoo-ha in the world of Donkey Kong, because this other guy, who nobody had ever heard of, came along and beat Billy Mitchell's score, which has stood for... I just realised that Billy Mitchell is that little guy who used to be in EastEnders as well.
Yes,
so this is a different one. He beat his score, and it caused a huge kickoff. And it just so happened that somebody made a documentary about it. I don't know how. It, as if by magic, there were cameras there. But honestly, the people in this thing, you just would not believe.
Am I going to find this at some sort of pokey art house cinema? Is that the place
I would imagine you would find it on DVD. I don't think it'll be coming to any cinema, and it won't be on Blu-ray. But honestly, the people... My God, the humanity that you've never seen. You know, if you ask somebody to picture in your mind's eye what a geek looks like. Basically,
I don't need my mind's eye to do that right now. Duncan.
Okay. Every single person in this game looks like somebody who'd be rejected from a Robert Crumb cartoon for looking too much of a loser.
Good. Okay. Well,
but it's a brilliant story, and it's a brilliant film, and it's one of those. I don't know why it is. There was a documentary crew following this around. They didn't know this guy was going to suddenly break this record that stood for a million years because he was a complete unknown.
Okay. Well, what's the name of the film again?
King of Kong. Fistful of Quarters.
Right. Okay.
And yes, it's very, very good.
Well, it's a disappointing rant. You weren't didn't seem to grumble
well,
at all.
Well, spring
there.
Is in the air. I'm
good. Okay. Well, from disappointing tech rage to road rage, or hopefully how to avoid it. Gaming giants Dreamcatcher and Joe Wood Productions.
Yeah, they're big.
Who are bringing out a game called Driver's Ed Portable for the trusty DS?
Snappy.
Have you been brushing up on this?
Well, I can't even drive in real life, so it would be a bit pointless for me. But, right. I'm always keen on educational games.
You mean legally, or you just don't? You just choose not to.
I'm from London, and we have public transport here.
Okay. Well, it's basically to get you through the theory part, which, if I recall, was embarrassingly easy when I took it. But I hear it has been tightened up a bit.
Yeah, don't they just sort of show you a sign and with an arrow pointing left and say, what does this mean?
Yes, and in fact...
That's my slightly rudimentary understanding of
the
highway code.
Well, as you mentioned that there, I do have a small selection of questions.
Oh, yeah, okay, go on.
You are driving a vehicle fitted with a handheld telephone. To answer, you must, mm-hmm. in capitals, A, find a safe place to stop, B, reduce your speed, C, steer the car with one hand, or D, be particularly careful at junctions.
Well, that's obviously A, isn't it?
Yes, that's correct.
Irresponsible for me to suggest anything other than that.
Although steering the car with one hand is always a skill I think learner drivers should learn.
Well, but the thing is, people do steer with one hand when they're... you know when somebody lets you through and there's a little gap? Drivers always then wave with one hand whilst doing the most difficult manoeuvre you can do.
Changing gear, that's another one-handed manoeuvre.
Yeah, there's all sorts of things.
Okay, one more for you. You plan to carry a load on a trailer. You must make sure the load is A, properly secured, B, not heavier than the trailer, C, not overhanging the trailer, or D, covered with sheeting.
I just wouldn't have a trailer. I say that as an answer?
That's E. Yes, yes, you can. The correct answer, though, would be properly secured. There we go. Well, they are laughably easy, these things. I'm not sure why you need a game to teach you all this.
Well, it's because the DS has set itself up, or has come to be seen as a sort of educational thing because of Dr. Kawasaki's brain training and how heavy are your eyes.
But the only requirement to pass this test is a grain of common sense.
You would have thought. But then, having seen King of Kong, I doubt the existence of common sense as anyone who games on a habitual basis. So,
T3.com described this as the antidote to Grand Theft Auto, which I can understand, actually. I seem to be having an unhealthy disregard for pedestrians and indeed my own car for the first fleeting moments behind the wheel after playing Grand Theft Auto.
As long as you're not literally pulling people from their cars and shooting
them
in the face.
Well, no, but it's more like you sort of see a person on the pavement and normally you'd think to avoid them. But, you're just in that mindset. I mean, I haven't hit anyone yet, and I generally snap out of it after a few turns. But, it's quite dangerous, actually.
Well, as we've established here, playing Grand Theft Auto will not cause people to commit illegal acts, or at least not illegal acts that they wouldn't otherwise commit.
Although this desire to mow down pedestrians is definitely a new thing for me. Anyway, it's coming out in fall 2008.
Well, I look forward to it.
Which I assume is autumn.
I suppose so.
Now, since you won't be driving for a while on account of not having a license, you'll be pleased to learn that you can now get HD telly without paying £10 a month to Sky. As you stay indoors. It's all thanks to Freesat.
Freesat. It's free and it's satellite.
Are you weighing yourself at the thought of this?
No, because I don't have a satellite. I mean, again, it's meant to be free, but you have to have a satellite dish on the side of your house. And you have to have a decoder.
Yes, that's true. Well, the cheapest box is £149, and then about £80 installation.
Yeah. Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but that's not free. But okay, the content is free.
That's the cheapest HD box, I should say, because you can get cheaper standard def ones. But then why would you?
Yeah, and there isn't that much HD content either, is there? There's like Torchwood's going to be in HD.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That'll be nice. And Glastonbury will be in HD, so that might be quite good, I suppose. Well, Jules Holland's in HD.
This was the one I was thinking. It's not really a, must have in HD kind of program.
They don't spend a lot of money on the sets.
And in fact, it could just ruin the illusion.
Yeah, I don't really want to see Jules Holland that close up or in that much detail.
Other slightly odd choices for HD content are Who Do You Think You Are? That kind of family history one.
Oh, yeah.
And Eurovision 2008.
No, that will be worth it for the costumes and that.
Yeah, that's going to be in glorious high def.
Well, I also noticed there's some top channels not in high def, but there's True Movies, which I hadn't heard of before. That's on there. That's got films of the quality of Cry in the Wild, Whose Child Is This? Life Is Not a Fairy Tale, and Women on the Inside.
Sounds good.
But that's like a gynecological program.
The way the HD is going to work, it's going to be... it's a joint venture between BBC and ITV.
Yeah.
Now, ITV are doing this by offering a red button service. So if something is available in HD, the red button will pop up and you press the red button and you'll get it in HD. BBC, at the moment, they've got this sort of dedicated HD channel.
Yeah, they've been trialling it for ages, haven't
they? Yeah, but it only runs from 8 o'clock until midnight.
Yeah.
So, that sort of... Basically, if it's on during that, apart from sport, they will sort of turn on the HD for that.
Yeah, I think the main thing that anybody would want to see in HD is sport, and sports to an extent, and movies.
Well, we have commissioned a crack team to assemble a preview of all the highlights that might be available on the BBC HD channel. Here we go.
She's struggling, Mr. Parkman.
Why? Why? Because she's having a few nightmares?
Because of these. She started drawing them a week or so ago. Every day they get a little worse.
Oh, my God.
There's one neighbour that can give the wolves a real punch. Snowy owls have little fear of anything or anyone.
Feel the tension.
Man, those snowy owls.
I'm looking forward to seeing snowy owls in high
Vicious
def.
Killers. Yeah, well, that was you'll probably need telling. The first one was Heroes, which would be quite good. Mm. The middle one, I'll give you a fiver if you don't read your script and tell me what that was.
I have absolutely no idea.
That was the official song for Euro 2008 by...
What, our official song?
No, because we're not in it.
Are we?
No.
See, that's how carefully I've been monitoring the situation. Is that the French one? I know the French were upset because their one was in English.
It's the whole one for the whole games.
Oh.
You were thinking of Eurovision there. Euro 2008 football.
Oh, sorry.
Never mind.
I wasn't paying attention.
That's okay.
I thought you did say Eurovision. Yes, I do apologise. Okay, fair enough. Quite reminiscent of John Barnes' rap on World in Motion.
Close, actually. It's by Shaggy.
Oh, is it?
He's back. Yeah, that was the official song.
I wondered if he had ever heard of football before being asked to write the official tune of soccer or championships.
From the lyrics, he may still not have ever heard. But
I think
there we
possibly
go.
Not.
And the last one was BBC Two's Natural World, which will be quite good in HD. I mean, that's something you do want to see all the fine detail.
Yeah, but that's the sort of thing the BBC does well, or has historically done well, is capturing owls in great detail. And now we'll be able to see them in more detail than ever.
Yeah, so as we say, the cheapest HD box, £149 plus £80 installation. Is that worth it?
Yes. But it's too expensive, but presumably it'll come down. But as a starting price,
yeah, it's
for the amount
down,
of stuff.
I mean, compared to Sky HD, is £199 and then £10 a month.
And then the subs really mount up.
And
there will be more HD stuff as time goes by.
Let's hope so. You'll also be able to get hold of a sort of Sky Plus style PVR box from July. That'll be from Humax, and tellies with built-in receivers also promised. So that's
good. I like Humax PVRs. They work, unlike PVRs made by certain manufacturers, such as, say, Top Up TV.
Yes. Yes.
I don't want to keep harping on about it. But...
Still having trouble with that?
Ugh.
Okay, leave it there. Now, we were all meant to flock with garlands of flowers to the victors of the HD race, but much like the US victory in Iraq, Blu-ray's slaughter of HD DVD hasn't quite produced the outcome it hoped for, as Blu-ray sales are actually down.
Yeah, Blu-ray discs have been blowing themselves up in
marketplaces. What is going on here?
Wonderfully tasteful metaphor that was, Dan. Thank you for that.
Anytime.
What's going on here? I'll tell you what's going on here, which is what I've said all along, is that there's nothing wrong with DVD. And why would you want to go out and replace all your discs?
Unless you have
an absolutely enormous telly.
This seems to be the running theory. I mean, is it basically just all the early adopters have adopted?
Yeah.
And the rest of us are still going, oh.
Well, yeah. I mean, why, you know, I mean, a lot of the films that have come out on Blu-ray as a showcase of it have been utter rubbish of the sort of Eon Flux kind of variety.
But when I see Blu-ray, I'm still blown away. I still think it's amazing.
Yes, but that's because you're seeing it displayed on, like, a great big telly, which most people don't have in their front room.
Yeah,
it's still the case that, like, about 32 inches is the size that most, or is the average size of a TV or whatever, or the most... It's the mean size, the median size, I don't remember. Anyway.
Okay.
And on a 32-inch telly, you just don't get that much benefit. So why would you want to spend £20 per disc when you could get the same thing for £10?
Well, that's true. The discs are more
expensive.
But the players themselves, I mean, they're about £250 now. That's, you know.
Yeah, they have come down quite appreciably. But it's, content is king.
I see.
That's an expression I've just made up.
I'm not sure you're the first with that one.
No, okay. But it's, if you don't have loads of films available and then it's not going to quite work, and it isn't quite working. And I think
interestingly,
that will continue
though,
to be the case.
Sales of DVD upscalers are up, which is how a lot of HD DVD players were rebranded when it all went a bit belly up there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you scrape off the HD. I remember that hilarious skit that you found.
Ah, yes, yes. Cover up the HD bit, and you've got a great.
Well, yeah, because
HD. DVD
I think
player.
DVD upscaling now it was pretty pants for in its.
It does
initial
work.
Stages. I think it looks all right now.
Yeah,
I know
it's
just basically magicking up detail that isn't there, but it looks okay.
Yeah.
And even, and you know, on a, as I say, on a 28 to 32 inch type telly, which is still what most people have, maybe not most people listening to this podcast, but most people have, DVD looks fine even when it's not upscaled. So it's...
Oh, yes. But I still, I mean, I will say, if you have a large screen and you don't have either FreeSat or Sky HD or a Blu-ray player...
Mm.
You have wasted your money.
No, that's...
You're wasting your investment.
That's true. I mean,
there are many people who've done this. They've bought a huge telly
and piping through around at home
really
thinking,
rubbish, pixelated Freeview.
I know. But then a lot of people don't have a clue, do they?
It's a crime.
It is.
Mm.
Basically, such people should have their enormous tellies confiscated.
And donated
and handed over to more deserving
far more
people.
Worthy, technologically minded people.
Such as people, perhaps, who are involved in the nation's favourite audio gadget podcast.
Quite possibly. Okay, well, we're careering headlong to the Fun Cart Grand Prix, otherwise known as the end of the show. Just time for your quick-fire reactions to this week's last words, starting with Sony Play TV again.
Yes, it's great and means I can now watch television in my lounge.
Yes, a bit more
and,
than that.
And on a PSP, to be fair.
Yes. And, so it's basically a PS3 PVR, and you can link your PSP to it.
I've got a PVR, though.
Okay.
It doesn't work, but I've got one.
Yes, you do. The Batmobile on eBay.
Yes.
Currently on sale. Get your bids in.
Holy bidding.
Very nice. And HTC Touch Diamond.
Still rubbish.
Yeah, you're not impressed with this, are you? And Olinda Radio.
Yes, very nice. Looks atrocious, but interesting thing. Mm.
I think you'll have to go to T3.com to see what on earth that's about.
Head there now.
Yes. Well, according to our Jedi meter, the Force is strong in you.
Mm.
Interesting. That is all for this week. Catch us every Friday by subscribing on iTunes. Catch all the latest on T3.com and find the June issue of T3 on newsstands now. Till next week, I've been Dan Maudsley, and you've been listening to the T3 Podcast.